I was born with red hair. It's a confession. Very, very quickly. It's amazing how God does this. But I was born with red hair, and for some reason, I got to my teenage years insecure, and I started dyeing my hair black. If you've noticed, I'm very pale. So photos from age 15 to 17, I'm not in them. There's just a black hair, and then what's going on there? They thought I had two. There was only two sons in the family, or three for a while. But anyway, the funny thing, how it's so funny, my mom and my dad said, "What are you doing? You look stupid." But in my little insecure way, I thought, no, I don't like the red hair. You know, you hear the comments from people. You hear, you know, ginger's a punch, rang a punch. I'm like, what is that? Anyway, let's cut that out now. It's not of God. Just joking. But it's funny that where I realized, and after a moment when I started actually encountering the love of God and God securing my identity, I realized that God doesn't make mistakes. That He put red hair on me for a purpose. I tell this stupid story that, and you probably, women will probably identify with me. When you dye your hair, there comes a moment as it grows out where the roots start to show. Now, red hair coming through the darkness looks a little bit like a tiger. But it was amazing moments, and I think you probably know those moments that where somebody will say, "Oh, your roots are showing. Oh, wow, I need to go re-dye, or I need to go cover things up." You know, all the women understand, eh? Me and the ladies. Good. Glad. But I tell this silly story because that phrase just birthed in my heart a couple of years ago, and I felt God start saying it, that the church for so long have been covering up who their true identity. God has made us in a specific way. And I believe life changes church at this moment. It's not by accident that this family come into our church at this time when we get in our series Ephesians to chapter 3, verse 10. It's no coincidence. I want to tell you, life changes church, that your roots are showing. And it's a glorious thing. And it's not time to go and apply more dye and cover up and just become comfortable and hidden and just mingle with the crowd. The time of reality, of sticking out. I know I was given red hair to stand out. And the church has been given specific identities and things in us that we cannot be ashamed about. We cannot be hiding from. And God wants to reawaken those things in us. So let's read the scripture. Ephesians 3 verse 10. It's on the screen. This is my favorite scripture at the moment. Verse 10 says this. His intent, God's purpose, His design, His plan that has always been in His heart. Not a new plan. His plan since the beginning. His intent was that now, not tomorrow, not the future, not when we get to heaven one day, but now. Now means now, today. His intent was that now, through the church, you can look to the person on your left and to the right of you, very quickly. That's who He's talking about. The church, living stones, not a building, not a denomination. He's talking about the church, you and I. Skinny redheads, big fat men, bald men, women who stay at home, women, professional doctors, the church, all of us. Now His intent, His purpose since the beginning of creation was that now, through you and I, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. Before we move to the next verse, the manifold wisdom. Just want to explain this. God's simple wisdom. His simple click of the fingers, simple wisdom is this. Let there be light. Simple wisdom. Table Mountain, simple. Niagara Falls, easy. Simple wisdom. The Alps, easy. This scripture though says now through the church, the manifold, the multifaceted, the incredible wisdom of God. What is He talking about? He's talking about the secret that lay hidden for ages past. The secret that angels long to look in. It's called the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the complex wisdom that through one man, the many go free. Through one man's obedience, we all become righteous. It's complex wisdom of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. This is what's been given as a gift to the church. The multifaceted, manifold wisdom of God. To be known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. It's a supernatural thing. Next verse says, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. 3 points and then we're done. If you want to know where the roots first started of church, and you want to say, what are the roots of church? Where is it from? How did church arrive? Hello, Annabelle. It's good to have you here. In Acts chapter 2, what happens is we always think, how does the church begin? And when I was a little guy, if you asked me, how did the church, this thing, this idea of church begin? I would picture a lot of gray-haired men in lots of heavy cloaks meeting and debating and talking, and we'll call it a denomination. Yes, like it. And they write out lots of contracts. We think maybe in some stuffy room somewhere they had a big conference and decided this is what church will be. I will tell you, that's wrong. It's not how it began. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus left 12 men and a bunch of women. And there was about 120 of them in total. And they were petrified for their lives because now they're on the run. Because their Savior, their King, has gone and left them alone. Or so they felt. So they were hiding up in the upper room, in a room upstairs, overlooking a crowded street, scared for their lives. This is the dramatic start of the church. You think that you and I are just ordinary people? These were very much more ordinary than you and I. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have Wikipedia. Shock, I know. It's amazing. How did they survive? They didn't have iPhones. How did they make it through? The church, they start like this. And the first point is, the church was birthed in fire. The church was birthed in fire. I want to tell you right now that God called a bunch of nervous, unqualified men and women and poured His Spirit out on them. That's how the church began. By God, initiated by God. They were hiding. They did not do anything. They had no Kim Walker in the background playing C sharp minor from the keyboard, and then the Holy Spirit fell. They didn't even have that. They didn't even have Hillsong CD playing in the background. Promise, I know. The Holy Spirit fell. This was the work initiated by God. This is God's intent from the beginning, a supernatural people. He takes a natural people and makes them supernatural. That's you and I. I think the world bombards us with messages for so long and we cover up that we think we're very natural. Just this is it. We what we can taste, what we can see, that's it. I don't want to be pushed out into anything weird. I want to tell you that this thing life called Christianity is anything but natural. It's going to call you to something that you never dreamt of. It's going to ask you to give money away when everything inside of you wants to keep. It's going to say, take leave and go on a trip when everything inside of you says, I would rather go to Hermanus and sit on the beach. It goes against everything inside of us. This is the church that was birthed in fire. I want to tell you very quickly that the church was birthed in drunkenness. They came out of the upper room and they appeared drunk. They're full of the life of God. Somebody once said, the church was birthed in drunkenness and over the centuries has just slowly sobered up and become respectable. It was nothing but respectable on that day. They were wild. They did not know what they were doing, but there was power. I want to tell you the word for Holy Spirit is this, dunamis. Can you just say that quickly? Dunamis. The word that means this. We think Holy Spirit, light, dove, quiet, gentle. The word dunamis for Holy Spirit means this, dynamite. Explosive. That's how the church was birthed. Kaboom. Theology 101. Kaboom. That's how the church started. I'll tell you, this thing happened. It's not a quiet, a timid, respectable church who hide behind seats and keep things under control. These were a wild bunch of people who were released into the fullness that God had. The church was birthed in fire. It's an amazing thing. Because of this, Peter, a man who had been denying Jesus just a few weeks earlier, suddenly the boldness filled up in him and said, I'll preach. I'll preach. A man who had every reason to say, no, not me. Naturally, I'm not very good. I don't have a good track record. But the Holy Spirit filled him, and suddenly a man who was very natural became supernatural. The Holy Spirit's going to fill men and women here, and we're going to be doing things that we've never thought we could do. That's the church. Your roots are showing. Final thought on this point here is that what was birthed supernaturally has become very natural. I want to tell you, dispel this myth. We are not a natural community trying to be supernatural. We were birthed out of a supernatural outpouring of God. We are a supernatural people who are living supernatural lives very naturally. You get the conundrum. It's not natural people trying. If only I really don't sin, then I can become supernatural. No, you are supernatural. You are born of God. Born of the Spirit. You are not just here by chance or by a decision you made. You're born of God. We need to believe this. Second point, the church was birthed in fire. Secondly, the church was birthed for mission. These men and women were hiding in a room. The Holy Spirit comes and they don't go, whoa, let's stay here forever. It's so lovely in this upper room. Let's just enjoy it. Oh, more Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and took them out of the upper room onto the streets. Chapter 1, they're in the room. Chapter 2, they're on the streets. Amazing story of Steve learning, saying Portuguese just flowed off his tongues. Can I tell you what happened with these men in chapter 2? Go read it at home. The first thing they started doing was speaking other languages. This is nothing new. This is your roots are showing. Your roots are showing. They were supernaturally given tongues, so that men and women, this was a center, a place where lots of nations gathered, so men who heard suddenly were hearing the gospel in their language. How are these uneducated Israelites, these Jewish people, being able to talk in my language? Why? Because the nations has always been on God's heart. This is not a small gospel. This is not a safe gospel. This is not a gospel just for you to get filled up on a Sunday, then make it through the week. This is a gospel that's for the four corners of the world. I want to tell you this, and I believe it with everything in my heart, that we were birthed for the planet. Often a lot of us will sit and we get into a church culture where we'll sing songs, more of you, Holy Spirit. And I believe it's a good prayer to ask, but the Holy Spirit, I believe Jesus is standing in heaven going, what do you need him for? You're doing nothing that needs him. What do you need him for? We can sing and sing, but until Steve steps out, when he stepped out, the tongue started flowing. When he stepped out, he had words to say. But I think so many of us are so scared to step out of our natural lives, put more dye on, let us mingle with the crowd, when God's saying, step out and watch what my Holy Spirit will do. I want to tell you, we are filled with the Holy Spirit to be poured out. We've said this before, but we bring people to church on a Sunday, we take the church to them Monday to Saturday. Do you know that? That every week we get the privilege of commissioning 400 plus pastors to unleash Cape Town. 400 evangelists who are sitting here. You are equipped to reach the city. That's why we exist. We don't exist to get bums on seats here. If that is what we're doing, if that's the high point of the gospel, let's close up shop now. We are birthed to change this world for mission. I want to tell you, he says it's through the church. You know that this is plan A, God's plan A, you and I. He has no other plan. Now through the church, this is his intent. And we look around and sometimes sadly church hasn't done very well. But that's not an excuse to say, oh, let's chuck it in. Because he is saying, I've got nothing else. I'm pouring my spirit, I'm banking on you. I'm going all in on the church here. There's a call. There's a call. As Steve tells stories and they stir our hearts. It's not just for the extraordinary man. Or the man of God that we think, oh, wonderful about him. Not for me, though. I can tell you that's how I lived always. You hear these wild stories and you go, ooh, that would be amazing one day, hey? One day I loved it. Now, through the church. This is for everyone. This is not an exclusive gospel. This is our roots. And final point. Before I say that, I really want to tell this myth very quickly. Do you know that you are not here in Cape Town by your own workings. You're not here in Cape Town because a job opened up for you. I believe this 100% that I'm not in Cape Town just because I felt it was a good thing. Or because the houses are cheaper here. Or I don't know. You are here in Cape Town because of the divine orchestration of the greatest chess player in the history of the universe. Jesus Christ has moved at this time. Sean Bosman will work here and he'll live here so that the plan can begin. At this time, this family will flee Zimbabwe. My family fled Zimbabwe because the political situation just got bad and we had to leave. We could say the politics drove us here. I don't believe it for a second. God's divine plan was that Gabe Phillips would live in Cape Town now. And he would use politics to get me here. I tell you, it's all a setup. You think, oh, just a job. You were born. Your roots are showing, Life Changes Church. Your roots are showing. We've got to start believing it. Final point. We are birthed in fire. We are birthed for mission. And final one, we are birthed for Jesus. The church exists for one reason. Peter gets up and he preaches Christ and Christ crucified. And this whole thing, the whole people, a lot of people revolt around, but a lot of people respond. 3,000 people get saved. But not only after that, persecution breaks out. I'm telling you, this is not an easy walk. If it's for any other reason, if you think this sounds exciting because I want to fuel my humanitarian desires, go join one of those groups. Because this thing, when you do it in the power of Christ, persecution will follow you. Hardship will follow you. It will cost you money. There'll be times where you go, oh, wow, maybe if we hadn't gone on that trip, we could have paid off our bond by now. Can I tell you, I often think in my head, maybe I'm the only guy who does it, if I work out how much I've paid in tithes in the last few years, I go, yes, I could have had a nice car. Am I the only guy who does that? But this is not a natural thing. But if it's for any other reason, but Jesus has caught our hearts, if this is just a pepped up thing, you can do it. It's not you can do it. I've said it before, we can't do it. We need Him. It needs to grip our hearts. This church was birthed for Christ Jesus. Please get a revelation, because burning hearts lead to flaming tongues. It's not an evangelism course we need to go on. It's we need to see Jesus. When we've seen Him, we cannot stay silent. We cannot stay the same. We cannot hold back. We have to go. Give everything for this great gospel. I'll tell you why this is huge. It's because Jesus, the church, is the only thing that Jesus gave His life for. It's the only thing that Jesus right now is building. And it's the only thing that He's coming back for. His church. How huge is that? The only thing Jesus gave His life for was the church. The only thing that He is building is the church. The only thing He is coming back for is the church. In the book of Revelation, the man, John, writes, he says there's seven letters that go out for churches. A church here, a church there, a church there. I want to tell you, there's no eighth letter for those people who don't want to go to church. If you have issues with church, settle it now. Don't waste time. God has given us a mission. Your roots are showing. Stop hiding. Let's deal with this thing. It's a radical, hard-hitting thing. Final thought is this, that at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God leant over man, the pinnacle of His creation. That was very good. The start of the church, the one who would carry the dominion of God to the four corners of the earth. And what did He do? He breathed life into Adam. The first face Adam saw was of a lover kissing him. This whole thing started with a divine kiss, a romance. Do you know how it will end? It will end in a wedding. When Jesus comes back for His bride, the church. We need to be falling in love with this Jesus, because that's who we are living for. That's who we're running for. That's who we do mission for. That's who we give everything up for. That's who we say no to some things and yes to other things, even though it inconveniences us. Why? Because we've seen the pearl of great price. He is worth it. I want to tell us, before we get Steve to come pray for us, is that there's no greater privilege than giving your life to this thing called church. And when I say this, I'm not meaning a Sunday meeting. I'm not meaning an organization. I'm meaning the very heartbeat of God. That now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be revealed.